This spring we are sharing some stories of those who have been transformed by an encounter with the risen Jesus. Our first three of these stories this spring about Mary Magdalene, about Thomas, and now about Peter have all come to us from the Gospel of John. And what sets these stories in John's Gospel apart is just how personal they are. Jesus' first appearance on Easter Sunday morning was not to all of the women who came to the tomb, but to Mary alone, transforming her sorrow into joy. When he visits his disciples, Thomas is singled out as the risen Jesus shows him the wounds in his hands and in his side, bringing faith out of his doubt. And now here in the Gospel's final chapter, all the focus is on Peter, who moves from failure to forgiveness and from regret to restoration. In this final chapter of John's Gospel, we find Peter going back to the beginning, to where it all started, in a fishing boat on the Sea of Galilee. This becomes Peter's opportunity for second chances, as Peter repeats, so to speak, two key experiences from his life. His initial call to leave his nets and to follow Jesus, and his denial of Jesus on the night when he was arrested. In the process, Peter experiences forgiveness and restoration, renewal and recommissioning to follow Jesus wherever he may lead. First of all, this scene echoes the story of Peter's first call to follow Jesus, as it's told in Luke chapter 5. There he and his brother Andrew, along with their partners James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were washing their nets after a long and unsuccessful night of fishing on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus was teaching nearby, and it was starting to get crowded. That's when Jesus invited himself into Peter's boat and had him put out a little ways from the shore so that he could continue to teach the people. And when he had finished, he turned to Simon and said, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Now, it was obvious to Peter that Jesus was no fisher. By now, the sun was high in the sky. The optimal hours for fishing were long past, and they hadn't caught anything all night as it was. Peter was tired. He was hungry, and he was frustrated. But for Jesus, he put out to sea one more time and lowered the nets back into the water. And that's when it happened. The moment that changed Peter's life forever. The biggest, most extraordinary catch of fish he had ever landed. The nets that had been empty all night long were suddenly so full of fish that they were beginning to break. And even with the help of James and John, who came alongside in the second boat, they were barely able to haul them in. By the time they reached the shore, both boats were taking on water because of the weight of all the fish they had caught. Peter knew a miracle when he saw one. Falling to his knees, he actually begged Jesus to go away. Not because he was ungrateful, but because he was so overwhelmed by his own sense of unworthiness. "Depart from me, Lord. I am a sinful man," he said. But Jesus didn't go away. Instead, he spoke to Peter. "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So Peter, along with James and John and his brother Andrew, pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything behind, and followed him. And now, here in the final chapter of the Gospel, history repeats itself. Again, James and John are there, among others. This is the only time in his Gospel that John calls them the sons of Zebedee, like Luke does. Peter, likewise, is called by his given name, Simon, son of John, the name he went by before he first met Jesus. And once again, we have the same problem as that they had at the very beginning. No fish. And that's when Jesus appears on the shore, just far enough out of sight in the dim morning light to be unrecognizable. And he calls out, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some fish." The miracle that ensues, nets full of fish, so many that they don't break, brings both remembrance and recognition. The disciple whom Jesus loved, who most take to be John himself, he was there the first time this happened. He says to Peter, "It's the Lord." And whereas Peter had once begged Jesus to go away from him, a sinful man, this time he dives into the water to get to Jesus. When Peter comes up on the shore, he finds Jesus sitting beside a charcoal fire on the beach. The last time Peter had stood beside a fire like this one, it was outside the home of the high priest right after Jesus' arrest. It's where he'd been asked whether he wasn't also one of Jesus' disciples, and he denied it. Not once, but three times. And now three times, beside the fire on the seashore, Jesus asks Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" It's where Peter had so confidently boasted just hours before Jesus' arrest. Even if everyone else deserted him, not Peter, Peter would die for Jesus. Peter would bet his life that he loved Jesus more than the other 11 disciples all put together. This time his response is more chastened, having been humbled by experience. Almost was that. "Lord, you know that I love you." Three times, Jesus asks him the same question. And John tells us it hurt when Jesus asked him the third time. He remembers the three times he denied him. He remembers his failure. "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." These are Peter's second chances. First of all, for forgiveness and restoration. Where he failed Jesus in the courtyard of the high priest, denying him three times, here he is graciously given the chance three times to express his love for him and his regret about how he let him down. This is also a renewal and a recommission. Just as that first encounter with Jesus ended with Peter's call to go and to fish for people, so Jesus calls him again to feed his lambs, to tend his sheep. The way Mark tells the story, Jesus' first words to Peter are, "Come, follow me." And according to John, they are also his last. In this final section of the story, the last few verses, we get a rather cryptic glimpse into Peter's future. "Very truly, I tell you," Jesus says, "when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and someone will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." John clues us in, saying that Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. According to tradition, Peter, like Jesus, would die on a cross, his arms stretched out on a crossbeam before being led to the place of crucifixion. Peter's not sure he wants to hear it. He tries to deflect the conversation onto the other disciple. "What about him?" he asks Jesus. But Jesus has his reasons for sharing this with Peter. I'm going to suggest that rather than a grim prediction of suffering and death in Peter's future, Jesus is showing him something far more hopeful. A second chance to succeed where he had failed. "Whoever wants to be my disciple," Jesus says, "must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Peter's boast, hours before he denied Jesus, "I will lay down my life for you," has come full circle. He'd asked Jesus, Lord, why can't I follow you now? But Jesus had said, where I am going, you cannot follow now. But you will follow later. All the way to the cross. Peter, it seems, will get a second chance. Not just to live for Jesus, but finally to die for him as well. And this time, he will not run from it. He will not hide from it. He will not deny that he knows Jesus. But he will follow. Peter's story is a testament to the fact that our God is a God of new beginnings and of second chances, of forgiveness and restoration. Jesus' call to follow me is not a one-off invitation to be abandoned as soon as we show ourselves unworthy. But as many times as we fail or fall or prove unfaithful, the call comes again. Follow me. So now, in the words of St. Francis, let us begin again. By the grace of God, today is a new day, another chance to follow Jesus, our Savior and our risen Lord. Come, follow me. In these next few moments, as Sandy comes to play for a little bit, I want us to allow ourselves an opportunity to begin again with Jesus. To sit with him beside the charcoal fire and hear him asking us, do you love me? Do you love me more than this? Do you love me with all your heart and soul and mind and strength? I want to give us an opportunity to allow ourselves to answer in this time. By the grace of God, you, Lord, know that I love you. I invite you to sit still with Jesus in this space. Let us begin again.